Hello and welcome to the 21st Manx Footy, part of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by D&D first team manager Aaron Delaney and defender come magician Stephen Mulhern. Welcome along, lads. Thanks for coming in, Aaron. Thanks for coming in today for the first time. I think you send in questions quite regularly, so hopefully you listen. So is it what you expected? And a lot of people are very disappointed when they come in. They think it's going to be a lot more grand. Or at least have a lot more egg boxes.
Yeah, egg boxes or some posters up on the wall. So it's a bit bland, isn't it?
Well, we're thinking about that. We may start doing sort of
a wall of shame.
Yeah, with previous guests on. Because I think we're up to about 120-odd different guests now. Considering we have Frank Jones in pretty much every other week.
That's not bad, and Paul Jones.
Yeah, of course. Steve, welcome in for the first time. Thanks for coming in today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Obviously, you're used to this sort of media work. We'll talk about that in a bit later on.
The bright lights,
Right, of course, we've got you to look ahead to Saturday's GH Woods Cup. That's easy for me to say, isn't it? GH call it, I missed a word out.
Yeah, come on, man.
GH call it, Woods Cup, quarter-final tie with Ancon. And of course, reflect on the best league in Europe, JCK Division 2. It's a winner, isn't it?
It is.
But before that, it's time to hit the biscuits. Now, I went to the other garage today, Dave.
Oh, controversial.
It's an extra walk. I thought I'd better get the steps in.
If you're going to have these biscuits, yeah.
And, now, we were talking last week about the VVF garage with me and all these weird concoction of biscuits.
And they were good, weren't they?
So we had the marmalade on toast digestives. Have you had them, lads?
No, I haven't.
They are an absolute taste sensation.
It's just chocolate orange, basically. It's a winner.
So it looks like digestive have gone a bit mad at the moment, because this one is a double chocolate digestive. Now, Aaron, you're going to have one.
Oh, I'm going to have one.
You have two if you want one.
No, I'm all right. Steve,
Dave?
Oh, yeah, definitely one of these.
Yeah, you were
very excited.
Very excited by these. Now, they look very chocolatey, don't they? Oh, they're nice. They're good, aren't they, boys?
They're pretty good, though.
Yeah, they're a solid. Last week's was a 7, these are an 8, I reckon.
Ooh.
Do you reckon, Dave?
Yeah.
You throw these in marmalade?
Yeah, the marmalade was good, but this, extra chocolate is always a winner, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get the pineapple Jaffa cakes. We'll get them for, I think we've penciled them in for Jonesy. Jonesy's coming in a couple of weeks, so we'll get them in for him. Right, we could talk about biscuits all day. The lads, of course, we must point out, they've brought some in themselves. They've brought in the...
a great selection.
The caramel digestive, which is always a winner.
I've had those, they're really nice, those, yeah.
And some Tunnicks tea cakes.
Classic as well.
Which just sit nicely under the biscuit umbrella, even though they're a tea cake, I think.
I don't need to buy any lunch today, do I?
No, keep you happy at all. Early bribes.
Right, we better talk about some football. Aaron, you stepped into the first team manager's hot seat in November after a successful spell with the club's combi side. Now, I'm reliably told by club statistician, all-round legend, and championship manager aficionado Dave Matheson that you're the combi's most successful manager ever, is that right? I think it was 10 games winning run and
11. Fourth, 11. 11. I'll correct Dave Matson.
10 or 11. Fourth in the league. You were in the mix, for, according to Combi Corner, I think you were in the mix for the title right up to the last couple of weeks of the season last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you have a pedigree there, D&D, but you took on the role after Rick stepped down in November. What made you want to take it on, first of all, and how have you found the step up, as it were?
Step up's been difficult. Obviously, combi football, we all know, to first team football, there is a massive difference in the level. But I stepped up, Sparks was there. I've worked with Sparks closely. I've done the centre with him now and again. And obviously, he's been at D&D. And I get on with all the lads. I get on with first team lads, combi lads. I don't see it as combi first team. We've got a squad of players. And I get on with them all. And I thought it was a different challenge. Different challenge. I spoke to Rick, spoke to Sparks. Made the conversation with Sparks. Sparks wanted me to step up, so I went for it.
Yeah.
I've made a few changes. I brought a few players in who I had in the combi.
Yeah.
First team was struggling to score goals under Rick at the beginning part of the season, so I brought Quirky up, who was my top goal scorer last year.
We name drop him every week, don't we?
He is probably one of the leading marksmen in Europe at this stage, isn't he?
Yeah.
Over the calendar year.
I'd say he's the best finisher at our club.
Yeah.
He's the best finisher we've got. It's just keeping his head in the game. He's young still. Well, youngish.
I don't think young still would stretch.
I brought him up. He scored 6 in 6 for me at the minute, and two of them were off. Two or three of them were off the bench.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? He knows where the net is. We need goals, and since we brought him in, we started scoring more.
Definitely.
So.
And you've already got Daniel Clegg-Stewart, obviously, usually rattles them in.
He's usually... Another hat-trick last week, I think, was it?
So he's been shocking till then, though.
Yeah. But you've got goals on the side now, which you know, it's the old cliche, isn't it? The goals win the game. So if you've got that, it's just keeping it tight at the back, which we'll go to.
That's why we've also got goals.
Steve, so have you found Aaron coming in? Obviously, you've been around the squad with the combi before, but has it been a good transition, as it were?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the good thing about Aaron taking over is that everyone knew him already. I mean, we're quite an involved club, we're quite together, and the difference between Rick and Aaron is slight, I think. I would say they've got very similar approaches. And, you know,
same
very,
surnames.
Well, yeah, they're related.
I'm just better looking.
Yeah. but no, I think for everyone, it was handy that it wasn't someone brand new trying to recreate everything. And, you know, Aaron's got his own way, which obviously proven track record with the combi and how their performances were. So I think everyone was just happy to try and continue the momentum going through. So for us, I mean, it's been great. And, you know, keeping Sparks in as well, I mean, familiar faces and also building on that, but obviously does leave us with the gap at the moment for a more permanent combi manager, which obviously if anyone's listening, please put your name forwards. But, you know, we've had some great additions from Dosser and Simon Barber, who've stepped up and became player managers for a bit, but where it's more temporary than permanent, so it is just one of the things that make and do at the moment. But the first team are enjoying it, it's just trying to get some more decent results, I think.
We talk about momentum. Obviously, we've got a quarter final on Saturday against OA at Onken. What's the mood in the camp, Steve? Is everyone up for this?
The mood's good. I mean, thankfully for the Rycock game we had, you know, not wanting to put any pressure on the refs or anything, but, you know, things could have gone a little differently, a little smoother. but, you know, thankfully the result worked out in the end for us, and, you know, that was the right result. So it was a bit more thrilling, you know, extra time, penalties. It just seemed to go on forever. I think everyone wants to go home. And thankfully we were able to get that through. But that big occasion does sort of make it tip over. So for us, I think everyone's sort of riding high on that. So hopefully we can carry that through. I mean, the lads put in a good shift last week against Ayr. I wasn't there. I was away in the Alps getting full of cheese and wine. So, yeah, so there might not be as much running
in me today. Is that why we conceded six last week?
not quite. It would have been double figures, I reckon. But no, so I think, we're slowly, gradually on the incline rather than the decline, which is good, and obviously brings us into a good position for the weekend.
We always say you guys are more than capable of a good result.
Every week we say it. You've got it in the locker.
Always got
that
it in the
mythical locker.
Locker.
Whatever's in it, you've got it. but occasionally it doesn't come out. and it must be frustrating, I suppose, Aaron, as a manager, because you know that the squad has that talent. It's just applying it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's that's one of the biggest things. It's I know the lads have got it enough to pull the results off. It's just getting them to do it on a regular basis. That's the issue we've got. I think one thing what I've managed to do with the first team, what I had with the combi, is it's a never say die attitude now. But it's like we keep going to the end. I think we were 4-0 down last week, and we pulled three back, and it went 5-4.
I guess a good
5-3. So it went 5-3, and then it went to 5-4, and then it went 6-4, and it was like an error up there to be more this year, and we pushed them. And it just shows we have got it in our locker when we want it.
I think was it Mattson that said that you guys are only the third team or one of the very select few to score four goals past Ayr this season, which is an accomplishment in itself.
And massive accomplishment, because probably we'll talk about it a bit later on, because I know that's one of the questions that's come in. But they're probably one of the teams that are going to go up at the end of the season, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what they've got.
Ridiculous. Yeah. It's almost a Premier League squad in itself. Has it been a frustrating season then, because you haven't been able to string together these performances, or are you sort of where you expected to be when you took on the role?
I'm sort of roughly where I expected to be. I mean, when I took on the role, November, weren't it? Against Foxtel, I kept everything the same as what Rick had it, because I didn't want to come in and say, you're dropped to the combi, and vice versa, he's coming up. I left it for the game, watched the game, didn't have that much input, I let Sparks run with it that game. And then I started making my own adjustments after that then. Brought him a run before training on a Wednesday now, and I think that helped us massively against Rycock. We was a lot fitter than them in extra time. We were doing more of the donkey work, more of the leg work, more of the running, and that proved with the lads. I'd say out of the lads that were on that pitch at that time, there must be seven of you that go on the run every week. So it was like, it shows it's working, it's there, it's getting there. So I mean, obviously it's finding the right positions as well for people. I mean, we've got the likes of Lewis Qualtrough playing for us now. Great addition to our squad.
Yeah.
Absolute tremendous addition for the experience he's got. It's like he can play at the back, he can play centre mid, he can play cam. Do you know what I mean? So it's like we've got loads of centre mids, haven't we? So it's trying to find the right balance. So it depends who we're playing. It's I mean, when we played Murrays, it was like, went a bit more defensive. So you've got your defensive midfielders in instead of you got running forward. So it's...
Oh, well,
we are roughly where we are, I'd say.
They always say, you never want to grow up to be Gary Neville, do you?
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're a little bit short at the back. So, but in terms of, like, we've got our more set-defined players, but, you know, the attacking positions are always a little bit more attractive to the talents of Douglas and District.
Yeah. We had the Smith Aries lads in last week. We had Frank and Alex in, and they both, I think, there was day before the official D&D account had asked about the game, the FA Cup tie. And they both lads were both very complimentary about it. They said, you know, they had to work really hard to break you down, and you know they've had an easier ride in the Premier League at times this season. So that must give you guys great heart. I think, you know, that's a massive compliment, because they're 8 points clear or whatever it is at the top of the Premier League.
Yeah, they've handed out some hammers.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and they're on for the Grand Slam. So to get that sort of, that must be a massive boost for you, Aaron, and the rest of the squad.
I think the words before that game to the lads didn't change. Remember, you've got nothing to lose here today. No one expects us to get a result. It was. You're looking at it's virtually impossible. So it was like, I said, just go out and enjoy it. You're playing at the ball, playing on a great pitch. Just go out and enjoy it. We went a little bit defensive, didn't we? I think we went 4-1, 4-1 that game. So we went defensive, and they were 1-0 up at half-time. They came out in the second half, put three up front against us. And I was still at the side for Sparta, saying the Premier League, the champions have had to come out and put three up front to try and finish us off. So for us, that was a massive compliment, the way our lads played and defended in that game. And keeper Will Gavin had an absolute line of a game that day.
Oh no, definitely. I think for games like that, for a Division 2 side, we're always going to be more defensive. Yeah. It's more just game management is a little bit different for us. Usually it's a bit, oh, we'll see what happens when we get out there, but we knew that we were going to be in for an onslaught, and you know, credit to Marys that they didn't have the fullest strength squad out, which was obviously benefits to us, but you know, what it did encourage us is to have the game plan, stay defensive, and where we can just try and play out and get a bit of space and a bit of a breather for me, which doesn't happen too often. But no, so everyone enjoyed it, and it's one of them games. If you come off and say, "Oh, we've been beaten 4-0, 5-0, things," you'd usually be like, "Oh, actually, that was what a terrible result." Yeah. But it could have, as you say, they're not afraid of dishing out hammer into the people, and so thankfully we put on a good show and you know, really rose to the occasion.
You talked about playing on the ball, Aaron, but that's something we always mention every week, is your Nobles Park pitch. You know, our terrible joke is that the slope is a leveller. But how is it playing on it, Steve? Is it one of those things that you think, oh, we're used to playing it now, it's our backyard, or would you think, God, can we just move somewhere else where we've got a decent pitch to play?
Oh, I definitely would be on moving. Right. And from a committee perspective, that is definitely something in the pipeline that we're working on. You know, we're really stuck with what we do. I mean, Douglas and District can't be moving out of Douglas. You know, the greenfield sites aren't exactly plentiful.
Yeah.
You know, the pitch isn't great. I mean, I no big news drop there. nothing new. But for us, it's just, it does make it difficult, but it makes it difficult for us as well. So you'd like to think that we would be more adept playing on it. But I mean, the start of the season, I mean, people come on and see how narrow it was, and it was like, there's about a foot between the sideline and the edge of the box. Something's not right here, and we're looking at it like, well, it's changed. And, you know, we obviously have the slope, which doesn't help. We always try and play downhill for the second half when we're knackered and we're just falling down.
We've got a mini Snaefell on one side now, haven't we, near the tree?
They've moved it closer to the road, and then there's like just this big large bump which we've named Snaefell. So you think you boot it and you think it's going out, hit Snaefell, it's straight back in the game. We're in there. So it definitely brings a different battle to the game. But you know, the other team that we play against seem to have no problem scoring against us on it. So I mean, I think for us it's just training at Ben Mahaig is great, and you know, everyone loves that, but it's more just trying to find a more suitable pitch for us, and then to play football on, like, we're really trying to emphasise the pass and move, you know, build it up, build it out, whereas Noel's Park is very much more long ball, down the hill, hope the wind catches it.
Well, I don't know if you lads remember, Corinthians was on the pitch next to you guys, over the path, as it were, and the trees on that left-hand side, and the ball used to hit the tree. Used to play on, didn't they? I remember playing Ramsey played Corinthians in the Premier League, and it was a relegation 12 pointer or something like along those lines. Ramsey were 1-0 up and started playing down time, but just booting the ball into the tree, because the Newton had either held up or would cause somewhere else. But yeah, so you know, it's always been an infamous venue, and I remember Governors had a couple of games down that bottom corner on the cabbage patch, which again makes your pitch look like the Burma Bow, doesn't it?
Biggest thing for us is we need to try and get new pitch, move ground, move facilities.
Well, now you've got the kid, we should say, when the other lads in Sparksy and Rich in last time, we were talking about the junior setup starting to explode now, isn't it? And that's the next progression, isn't it? When you can host those things on your own pitch. Yeah. And then you can start thinking about, right, now maybe we start going for promotion or X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, definitely. For us, it's better pitch, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't have any home advantage anymore at Nobles. It depends if the council have ruled it for a start. It's like playing on Lego some weeks. You lose all your home advantage when the pitch is in that condition. So in training, when we're playing away from home, I think we play better now away from home than what we do at home. Mm. Where we're getting a half-decent pitch, a nice flash pitch, and we're passing the ball, we're moving the ball, we're playing football. And me and Sparks have got them playing football now. Mm. And you go back to Nobles and you're like, right, Steve said, long ball. Anyway, so everything goes out the window, what you've done in training, because you just can't play on it.
And on a windy day, it's not going past halfway.
No, it's not.
It's going back at me. I'm like, thinking, what's going on here? But no, I think, for the club's like junior self, I mean, the growth has been exponential, really, in that sense. And thankfully, we obviously have a good slot of the ball, you know, good support from the coaches, obviously, where, like every other junior self, more coaches are needed. So if anyone's there, then that's obviously great, then please let us know. But it's one of the things, when we are taking into consideration as a committee that, when we do move and look for somewhere else, that it has to be suitable for the whole club as a whole rather than just things. So obviously that is being considered, it's in the pipeline, and you know, thinking about the juniors, the girls, you know, and the long term goals. I mean, it seems like the club's at that point where it's going to be a bit of a tilting point, a bit of a pivotal point where if we can get some decent facilities, then it's only going to go up and up.
Yeah, massively. Right, before we go into the questions we've had in, Dave, we should talk about Steve's brush with celebrity, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a celebrity if he's in here today.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Obviously, we have to talk about his lesser-known exploits on Britain's Got Talent in
2017. Do we have to talk about it?
I think it would be remiss of us as journalists if we didn't talk about it, Steve. 2017, we'll go back to those 3 years now, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was no coronavirus, there was no... what else? No Brexit. It was a lovely time in everyone's life. 2017
was good. Yeah.
And you made a fleeting cameo on ITV One's flagship show, Britain's Got Talent, didn't you?
Unfortunately, I did. Yes. it was a long time ago. Got the call at work that been able to get a slot on, and obviously, you know, really show off my magic skills.
Yes.
Which, to much of the delight of the rest of the lads at D&D. I had to keep that secret from for ages until I was like, right, lads, I've actually got something to tell you whilst we're away on tour. And then they really came into fruition where we saw the teaser for next week's show, and they saw me, and it was beyond words to describe. But yeah, so maybe not one of my finer moments if anyone has seen the video.
I would disagree with you there, Steve. I thought you did. I was watching YouTube. I'm going to put the YouTube link up on our socials. I'm sure you'll hate that a bit later on. But I watched it again this morning, and it was the gift that kept on giving, because obviously you had the same name as Stephen Mulhern, who is the one of the presenters of the Britain's Got Talent.
Of course, always helps.
You also wore the same colour shirt, which, you let me peek behind the curtain a bit here and maybe said that wasn't is a bit more contrived than I thought. Yeah,
but there was an awful lot of more behind the curtain, I think.
Steve still wears that top every time we go out as a club.
Do you still get people asking for autographs?
No, unfortunately not. I've had a few like Instagram posts telling me how I was robbed and how it's really true, but we'll leave the fans alone.
So we won't go into too much now because we don't want to spoil the surprise, really. No. We'll share the YouTube link because it's still on there, we'll give it a bit of a push. So at the end, because I know D&D, obviously you do all these socials, you do the Christmas coach trip and all sorts of stuff like that and tour. So do you ever have to do a turn yourself? Go back on the back on the magic, as it were.
Well, there's not quite doing a full performance. There was one. I think it was the awards due at the end of that year, the end of 2017.
Did you say you saw Dave Matheson in half? That would be amazing.
Well, no, yeah, but it'd just be putting them back together. Everyone would be stopping me. But no, so. Yeah, well, I think there's been a few little japes about it, but never really had to step back up to the plate and really give a performance again, thankfully. So,
well, you know what that means, Dave. When we get off here, we're going to have to get one of those online petitions.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to happen.
Well, I think we should actually do it at the race night on the 28th of March. You lads are welcome to come to
that. Well, I tell you what, you'd sell a lot of tickets, didn't you? Well, Britain's Got Talent's very
good. The capacity of the yacht club might not be able to cope. It was underwater the other day, wasn't it?
Right, we'll move on to the questions. We've had several from Dave Matheson, various guys, and something, Dave.
We have. So yeah, the first one's in from the official D&D Twitter account. It says, question for you both: what are your favourite memories for D&D? Also, thanks for all that you both do for the club.
So we'll kick off for you, Aaron.
Well, mine's got to be Dave won Clubman of the Year for, what was it, about 6, 7 years, 8 years on the run. I just come in last season, swiped it straight from him in the first season. So much
kept
pleasure.
Eye contact as it was
passing. Yeah. As he was handing it me, I could see the disgust in his eyes and his face, and I was just loving it. I was laughing it up.
To double edge also that, Dave, because Dave loves the club so much, but also is so proud of his own achievements. So.
Yeah.
Bitter pills to swallow.
I'm sure he rigs the votes. I'm sure he rigged them for so long that he had no chance last year, because it was just like, I think he got 2% of the votes and I got the rest.
So now you've got it, Aaron. What's he sleeping with? You know,
he's newborn.
Yeah, he's got a newborn baby now,
yeah,
honestly.
Thankfully, yeah. Well, the coincidence that it came around, I wouldn't like to make any assumptions.
I'd say also it would be the achievements with the Combi last year.
Yeah.
Combi had always been a bit hit and miss, and last year we just took them and we just ran with it.
And it's a walking football team now, isn't there, as well?
Yeah.
So Tony Stewart's been rolled out the Combi into that. I think he's found his level now, has he?
No, Tony's still not
every time he's played
for
me, he always walks. He should fit straight in, shouldn't
he? But yeah, he's been doing it for a while. He's pretty seasoned pro now. But no, you can own Tony, the walking football team does that. I think they're doing really well. Yeah. I think they're unbeaten, actually.
I think the top of the league, yeah.
So who's in that? Is Dave playing himself?
I think he might have played.
He's allowed to play.
One underage, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, Dave can't run anymore. So.
We've got three people like Sean Gritton, Enzo Ciappelli, we've got
Liam Thompson sponsoring him.
Yeah, so the Thompson's accountants.
And Liam was playing Combi for last couple of seasons, wasn't he?
He's still playing this year.
Still an active member. Mid-50s without revealing too much, but yeah, I remember the first time I met Liam when I came to a train at Nobles, I typically lost control of the ball, tried to put my studs on it, ended up going over the ball and rolling and just smashing right in the leg, and I'm not joking, Nobles Park fell silent. It was like I'd spat on everyone's mum, and they came over and they were like, Liam, are you alright? And they looked at me and we went, I'm never going in for a tackle with you ever again. And I realised that I nearly ruined a club legend.
Yeah, I absolutely love him. When that man retires, I still want him to come to training.
Right.
I honestly do. He's just so good to have around the club and at training. He's absolutely amazing.
So I'm taking that wasn't one of your favourite memories.
The favourite was the relief of not hurting him and not being hated by the rest of the team. But to be honest, favourite memories for D&D, I mean, it's one of the things that there's no one defining moment. I mean, obviously there's a bunch of great things that we've done. The tour that we talked about obviously is, you know, where a small group or a squad full go away each year. There is always plentiful, like laughs and japes, which is always great. To be honest, I think really my favourite thing at the moment now is just the attitude. We're starting to feel like we can do it a bit more. So I think at the moment, the step that it's going in is that, like, we all want success. It's getting a little bit more competitive. People want it and people are starting to, like, put a bit of pressure on themselves, which is always good. So I think for me, it's just, I'm liking where it's going, and I think that, you know, it's not, we won the treble back in 08, yeah, that was great. Unfortunately, not quite, but we're definitely on the right path, and I think that, for me, is a good moment for us at the time being.
Ask us at the end of the season when we lift the Woods Cup. Yeah, that'll be the best one then.
Well, you guys are a cup specialist these days.
Yeah,
last few seasons.
Hattie asked that in a minute, Dave. Don't be getting yourself yet. What I was going to ask you, though, guys, is that you always seem to do well recruiting players. You bring people into the game for the first time, maybe people that moved to the island or whatever. And now, in a time where Manx football many clubs are struggling to get two teams out, why do you think you're quite successful in that way of things? Is it because Dave Matheson's like going through?
No, if they meet Dave Matheson straight away, they don't come back. that's one thing that happens. I don't know, we're just a good group of lads. We welcome everyone at training, especially if it's a new fella that's just turning up. No one knows him. Literally, everyone will go over and start knocking a ball around with him, talking to him. We just tend to
really welcoming club, but you know it does help when you've got Aaron Delaney at the sea terminal handing out flyers.
Side for us,
you just you're a big lad.
Can you play at the back?
but no, I think from that sense, yeah, Aaron's at the nail on the head. You know, we've got a nice bunch of lads, and it's not daunting to come to, you know, everyone thing, but it does help that, you know, Aaron and Rick perform in Sparks. You know, they always seem to know someone new. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know, I must just be oblivious or people trying to avoid me, but I don't meet anyone new from the island until they come to football, whereas these guys have a bit of a knack for just sort of intercepting them before they get anywhere else.
Because we're bringing everyone over from England, that's why, mate.
I think it's a bigger problem there.
Next question is in from Unimil's gaffer, Stephen Fox. Now, this is one of the most bizarre questions we've had this season since Joseph Andrews has stopped his shower provoking questions, isn't it?
Yeah. Joey Andrews always used to come up with some absolute belters. But yeah, so Foxy's asking, would you rather have candy floss hands or biscuit feet?
You two lads have thought about this. Like, I think maybe too much.
Yeah. I didn't sleep very well last night.
So go on then, Steve. You had some really quite good reasons.
Yeah, so I would pick biscuit feet. And the reason behind it is, A, because candy floss, I just feel it's too limp to actually use them as hands. I mean, you may as well just have paws. They're not going to do anything, are they? It's just going to be floppy. But I like to think that if you have biscuit feet, you can just sort of like knock the side of the biscuit. Like if you've got like a custard cream, you could just shape it into a shoe and then just put a shoe on top. So it would just be like you were normal. And just keep your shoes on for a while. I'm sure you could get like some wellies, keep them dry. But yeah, from my point of view, that's what I'd be doing. I'd definitely be going biscuit feet. And there's no chance of you... I'm not flexible enough to get my foot in my mouth. So I reckon there's no chance of eating myself. Whereas I think Aaron might differ.
Yeah, I'd go for candy floss hands. I love candy floss. I mean, I just absolutely love it. And I'm a biscuit dunker in brews. I ain't dunking, so I'm walking around on the floor with it and then trying to eat it. And plus, I can't get my foot to my mouth, so I'm...
Well, I'd like to see you dunk your foot in your mug, because I might sit and watch that, unless you drink it out of the bucket. I mean, it'll be all right.
Well, if you've got to want to add to this debate, I'm sure we can on @max40pod on Twitter, and of course, we're on Instagram and Facebook, because the thread last night that when Foxy asked this question is quite remarkable.
It is, yeah.
Foxy also asks, he says, Aaron, you're a highly rated coach and I've heard good things, and you also know of your well-documented love of cheese soufflés. First question is, do you have any coaching ambitions? Obviously, you do a bit of work with the Centre of Excellence as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I coach the Centre of Excellence under 10 girls. Mm. Tremendous group of girls.
Have you seen a growth in that area? Obviously, we had the girls in because it was Floodlit Cup. We had the Becky Corkish, who else did we have in? Jade and Lisa Costain and me. And they were saying the women's game, the senior game, is struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a bit odd because obviously women's football is massive at the moment and seemingly lots of girls playing football.
Yeah, I think you get a lot of girls going up to, say, 16, and then I think you find this drop-off, 14 to 16. So I personally don't think there's enough for girls football on the island, in tournaments, festivals. I mean, there's a festival on this weekend, but then it matches with the girls who are actually in the league playing this week, you're going to miss so many of them girls from playing at the festival, so it's a bit of bad management. Don't want to say nothing bad to the FA, but to me, it's a bit of bad management that you wanted to get more girls into football. The under-10s, I've got 18.
Wow.
And most weeks you've got 15 to 16.
That's really good.
Every Monday.
Yeah.
No matter what the weather is. They're great. I love coaching the girls. You find with a lot of lads, especially at club level, the parents want to play football, so they bring the kids down. Mm. Whereas with the girls, you find they want to be there.
Yeah.
So they're listening to everything you try and do. They just want to have fun, learn football, and they're just an amazing group of kids. I love having them there, yeah. Coaching ambitions, I want to win things, mate, as a coach and as a manager. I want to push my lads as hard as I can and to the best of their abilities and get the best out of them, which I know they can do. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to get promoted eventually. Hopefully with D&D.
Yeah.
But if not, I'll have to go. I'll go.
I'll
go somewhere else.
Give us a couple of years, Aaron. Yeah. When's your deadline? Yeah.
Well, apparently, according to Sparks, about 2 years, but about 40, you have to retire at D&D, apparently.
Well, we've seen it with Douglas Athletic. You know, they were in a similar position to you guys a few years ago, and they've gone up, and now they are
an established team.
Established. Yeah, is that sort of a footprint that you want to go?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, I want to push myself as well as far as I can push myself. But yeah, I'd love to go up start off winning World Cup, and then push up, get promoted eventually, and then move forward. And then obviously, as soon as you go up in that league into the top division, it's, you're fighting for survival for the first couple of seasons, building a stronger team around you. But obviously, I think one of the aspects is if we got off Nobles, we can entice more players, more quality players, should I say. But yeah, I'd like to get promoted and see how well I can do up in the top division and see where I can finish up.
So he also asked, do you like any of the types of souffle or is it just cheese?
Oh, no, just cheese.
Good answer. Finally, he says, who are your tips to go up? Obviously, a bit of a question, fishing question there.
Yeah, he's fishing. He wants me to send Mills one. Sorry, Foxy, not you.
You've played most of the big lads now, haven't you, I think?
I've got Mills left to play. Yeah. Since I took over, we played... I played last weekend. Played St John's.
Colby.
And
Colby.
Played Colby.
Colby, yeah.
So, I've not played... Yeah, I played Foxtel. Don't like playing Foxtel. So we've got Mills left to play, so I can't really comment on how well Mills' first team are doing because I weren't there at the start of the season. But I'd say Colby are the best footballing side I've come up against in the first team this season. They've got talent throughout.
They looked. Well, I watched them against Mills actually in the league a couple of weeks ago, and they looked the most structured team I've seen.
Yeah.
They look very solid at the back. You know, Credge's a good goalkeeper. I'm not just saying that because we had him in a few weeks ago, but. Further forward, they had a strong defence. They mopped up that Mills pressure, and then Mills, I don't know, Foxy might disagree, didn't seem to have a plan B then. So then they built on that. Then they've got Carl, they've got the other players that can offer a threat offensively as well. They look the most rounded team I've seen. But St John's, I've heard a lot of good things about them. They've only lost one, of course, to Foxdale this season.
Yeah. We should leave St John's.
Yeah. Cue my errors.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I agree.
I think that's the only game I've seen you make two mistakes in.
Yeah, I had it gone big time. But no, I think you're right about Colby. They're just very consistent, composed, and you know, when you think you've got them under pressure where other teams would crack, they actually just deal with it. Yeah. Like, which I think that screams like first division sort of like.
I think obviously looking at the table, you've got Mills and St John's have still got and Ayr have all got games in hand on Colby.
And
Foxdale. So that full table could change.
Oh, it's best.
For me, Ayr, I thought they were a good side last week. Very good and strong in the air. I think if you can challenge them in the air, you get a result out of them. I know they've only lost one sort of season, but I personally find you could get a result out of them. They were just bigger and stronger than us in the air, and they were just dominating the air and everything. So, and we've got a couple of big lads, two centre backs, and they were just towering over there. So I think is Colby's squad big enough to sustain
the one question mark?
If Carl gets injured,
Have
they goals coming from somewhere else? Where I think Mills have got goals throughout the team.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of goals throughout the team. I think a push, I'd say, and St John's this year. Colby and Mills just missing out in third and fourth, but then I think Mills will go up next year.
Right. Well, Foxy, when he came in, he's equally as ambitious as you, Aaron. I think he was saying it's a promotional bust, really, isn't it? So it'll be interesting to see how it gets on. They were marked out at the start of the season, Dave, with the players they brought in, Sam Kane and Matty Kane, just to Sam's struggled with injury this season.
Yeah, he's not really played much, has he?
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. This is why it's the best league.
It is. We don't just say it for no reason, do we?
Yeah, no. Next question's here from Michael Joseph. He says, Steve, you play a bunch of other sports. What have you learned from basketball and netball that has improved your football game?
Not his position.
Probably not much. I mean, half of the reason why I started doing even football when I came back from uni was more just fitness based. You know, there was no real desire to like be a competitor. But I think really from basketball and netball, all I've really learned is just getting in the way of things. That's not my job really. It's like there's no real like great shakes. I'm not like gonna be a maestro in midfield or anything, but I will maybe get in the way of the ball and the goal like occasionally. So I guess probably that. But yeah, the fitness side of things are definitely help for the short, sharp sprints.
I've played netball a couple of times, and it's the most brutal sport. Like I played rugby for years, and netball is just
ruthless.
No, I know. I think that's half the reason why I actually kept playing, because it caught me off guard. I just thought that when you hear the rules, you catch the ball and you can't move. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's going to be boring. Honestly, I've never felt more tired. But no, so they've recently created Air Mike and Isle of Man.
Yeah, training this Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, Sunday. I think it's 11 till 1.
Bemahague.
Bemahague, get yourself down there. Yeah, there you go. I've done my tick that from Joe Sunday. He's really happy with me. But yeah, so I mean, for things like that, I mean, it's just, the intensity just helps, and hopefully it carries on. But
D&D men's netball team, you know, they spread across, it could be like Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know.
We'll get the pitch first. We'll sort of
coronavirus, that's it. Everything off.
We'll focus on managing the pitch first, before we branch out into different sports. There'll be handball, there'll be squash, you name it there. Few years down the line.
Well, Andy's a pretty good squash player. He might be
pretty good. Is the highest compliment I've received about my squash. I think I looked at the rankings the other day, Dave. I'm 137 in 140 Ireland registered squash players.
At least you're on the rankings, mate.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I turned up to that game once, so I'm there. Next question is from one of your other defenders, Aaron. It's Luke Castor. He says, Aaron, who's the best and worst trainers at the club?
Question.
Turtles, one of the worst. Luke Callister's one of the worst. He's never trains in his normal position. Thinks he's a striker. No, he's a good trainer. He's there every week.
He just gets fed up of playing next to me.
I've got quite a few good trainers. Lads out there every week in, week out. Obviously, Steve's a really good trainer. Lewis.
King Dave.
Yeah, very, very good trainers. Worst, Tony Stewart. Oh. If it's anything to do with fitness, is a session recommend. You end up saying go home, see you later. Got a few. I mean, biggest moaner you could have at training, quirky all day long.
Depends if he's scoring goals.
Yeah. If it's a shooting session, it'd be Graham Garn. He couldn't hit a band up. Do you know what I mean? So then he's sulking in corner because he's missing every shot. So yeah, worst training, there's a few. Depends what we're training on, what our sessions are.
We've got a good core, 10, 11, come rain or shine, we'll always be there.
Always be there.
And then, but usually I'd say we have pretty decent numbers anyway. Mm. So I'd say that, Luke's trying to get a juicy answer out of that. You know, this is what it's in for.
We've got a lot of good trainers, very good. And even if it's something they're not comfortable with, they'll try and they'll keep going. Luke Stewart's example for that. He's tremendous. Even if he's having a bad training session, same Ben Hall, if they're having a bad training session, they dig deep and they keep going, and that's what you want out of them. For me, they're good trainers because they're there week in, week out.
Luke also asks that, he says, when are you going to pass the ball to my feet and not at chest height?
Well, as I said before, I think I've played with Luke for an awful long time now. I played with him back in the Lou as well, so I've been at D&D this is my fourth season. Luke's been there and still haven't managed it. So I think if I was Luke, I maybe wouldn't be hopeful. but yeah, it has drastically improved, but that's more just out of chance. It's not perhaps any skill improvement or anything. So I'll just try and avoid him next time or aim for someone in the background.
Next question's in from Division 2 reporter extraordinaire / Cheltenham expert
and D&D super fan. We have to point out that Hattie is a super
fan. Pay the man.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Get a new kettle.
And a new TV.
Yeah. Maybe if you win it for North this weekend, Paul. I think PC World have got a sale on at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hattie.
It's a lovely CRT, though.
You need about three people to move it.
Yeah. D&D has had considerable success with cup matches in recent years. Why do you think this is? He adds, I've watched Duncan thrice this season. They've lost on each occasion, and he'll be there reporting.
So the lucky charm himself.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a few stats off Dave this morning. Obviously, since
just had them to hand in.
I'll read these. Since 2016, won 7 out of 10 of our Woods Cup games. So that's not bad. And last time they got to the semis was they beat in Onken 2-0 in the quarter final. So hopefully, I don't know with cup games. I don't know what it is. The lads are just always up for it. Anything can happen, sort of attitude. They seem to dig deep.
I think it might have something to do with the fact that maybe the seasons themselves haven't been
haven't been great.
They haven't been fruitful in terms of position, or we're not really not drastically improving. We are making improvements, but I think half the time it's nice to have something that actually you can still play for, which is good. So, and I think people really do step up. So it is more of a, oh, actually, we're up for this, let's fancy it. And that's half of our problem sometimes. Is that
well, I remember watching.
Just be a bit like lackluster in attitude, which isn't good enough.
I watched the Cup game last year, the first team, because Comby didn't have a game, playing Douglas Athletic down at theirs. And I think it finished 3-2. Mm. It was like a cracking game. It was end to end. And you're just in a different. And I watched the lads a week after in a league match. And it was like watching two different teams. And it was like, it was crazy to see. And it's.
You just have to cross out league and on the fixtures. Cup match.
Yeah. I mean, we played against Drycock in the Cup, beat them in the Woods Cup the other week. And Colby, I mean, that game shouldn't have even been on. It was just horrendous. It was 60-mile-an-hour wind. You couldn't play football. Mm. Then we went back out and played air this week. We were trying to play football and we played well. We played really well. Linesman needed to get new glasses because he said the ball crossed the line and it never, and it was like, you know what I mean? It was just one of them great
another
decisions
call for
by
VAR. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you'll have Hattie there.
So, I mean, they've started now trying to, the results we get in the Cup and the way we're playing the Cup, we're trying to do that in the league now as well, which is a good thing. So, hopefully, it won't just be Cup runs that we get in future. It's we'll progress and do it in the league as well.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Sparksy, you mentioned him, former podcast guest and your current right-hand man at the moment. Aaron, he says, question for the magician. Quite like that as a nickname.
Yeah. Well, so what happens is I'll take like, there'll be like ridiculous, I've probably got like a 1 in 20 touch where it'll be like unbelievable. And everyone will be like, magic. Like, you know, you're just like, all right, fair enough.
He says, it's great having you at the club. What was it that brought you to D&D? Because obviously you mentioned you were at Maloo.
Yeah, right? So I left. So I started off at Rollins Way, and then obviously the club folded. You know, nothing to do with me. But then, so...
You made the club disappear.
The destroyer of the world. That's what it is. But so then we moved to Maloo when it just came to convenience, really. Yeah. But it was really... I had a couple of really good mates who played for D&D. And I also wanted to be training in Douglas a bit more. I mean, the track down south for me, which is a bit of a limp excuse. It was just a bit inconvenient. So for me, it was just a couple of good mates, and then came in, and then they eventually had injuries and stopped playing. And I've stayed here because the lads are good enough, they're a good laugh. And so for me, it was more just that odd couple of people, which is, I think, quite a standard introduction to most clubs, is that they always know someone pretty well, and then eventually just come pretty well established. So,
last questions, Dave. We had to give the last word to this man, didn't we? Dave Matheson.
Legend, yeah. Yeah.
Why did you have to give it to Dave?
First question's for you, Aaron. How did you find being combi goalkeeper for my last season in charge?
Well, incredibly hard with his candy floss hands.
Well, yeah.
I couldn't catch the ball half the time, so. it was all right. I enjoyed it. Couple of crap ribs near end of season against Donkin and stuff like that. No, I enjoyed it. I'd not played for a long time. I'd not done anything to do with football for a long, long time. And same season, I started doing the under-60s because my dad started playing. Yeah. So then Dave was like, oh, do you want to go in net for us for a few games? You've got no keeper. So I was like, yeah, I'll go in now and again. And then it turned out every week.
Yeah.
So it was like, never got asked to do it for all season. And it was like, oh, Aaron, we need a keeper against people. Oh, Aaron, we need... And I was like, right, okay. So I just started doing it. I enjoyed it. I mean, met the lads and... I think it was a good transition then for me, obviously, playing with them lads in the combi, and then the season after I was in charge. So it was a really good transition because I knew them. I knew where they played, I knew who was better where, attitude-wise off different lads, so it was quite good. But I enjoyed playing for
Dave.
He's got
to be better in the managerial role.
But no, I enjoyed playing for Dave. He was alright.
He was famously brushed over for the Fulham job, wasn't he?
Terrible.
Absolute travesty, that.
His Fulham manager credentials are second to none.
Yeah. I prefer playing under him than having to deal with him every week as club secretary and first team manager. Ask for a new football and I get like a 10-page essay. Why do you need a new football?
Because Stephen's booing over there.
Stephen's walking over.
Question for you from Dave. Steve says, the nicest man in Max football, he says... You have been going on our annual tour every year since 2017. What are your favourite tour memories? Now, we can try and make these as safe for work as we can.
But I think there are definitely like some bits which, you know, just lavish behaviour, which we won't delve into too much. Two main ones probably involved Dave, actually. I remember we played in Newcastle and Dave was a sub and he's like, any penalty, I'm coming on as a sub. Came on. And he went top corner, and well, I was sort of thinking, he's put this top corner, he said it really well, and they just went zoom straight past, and you just see him walk off, and everyone's just laughing. And we're like, you're not coming on again for another penalty. So and then the other one last year was actually, it could have been quite serious, actually. So I sort of said to Dave, after we'd been out for a few drinks, I was like, hey, Dave, do you reckon you can head one of these signs that was talking? And it was more just because I know that Dave's obviously got bad knees, but he's always, when he was playing, I bet he was like, he would love a header. And I was like, do you reckon, Dave? And obviously, was not the brightest idea. So Dave's got up, and he's taking all of that. We were there thinking, oh, this isn't going to go well. He's taking all of and he's jumped too late, so he's jumped under the sign, hit it. He's probably got a scar. Blood was pouring out of his head. Honestly, Dave's really worried about it. I'm thinking, oh my God, I've bloody killed Dave. The Liam Thompson story, like, this could be up there. I'm going to be hated by the local press. So then we get back to the hotel. Dave's obviously got, like, towels and things, and he is all right now, as we know. He's up and tweeting.
Well, as all right as he's ever been.
Yeah. Not all right. But so then there's one picture as well, which just topped off the moment, where he's lying in bed in low light, and there's just a bunch of the lads stood around him as though they're stood over his coffin. And Dave sent it out, and he just, when he saw the photo, he thought it was so funny. But I remember him getting home, and he had a bit look at the extent of his wounds. So probably not the brightest idea, but still one of my favourite memories. And I think Dave made that. So yeah, apologies for that, Dave.
Where are you going on tour this year?
Benidorm, yeah.
It's the big one.
Well, we'll see how the corona deals with us. But no,
might have looked down safe, yeah.
Yeah, we might not be going anywhere.
How many going?
I think maybe about 17. So we've got quite a bit. Maybe a few more lads this year because we're obviously entering Europe. I think so, and it's been a bit of a trouble for Dave to organise, because obviously...
He doesn't speak Spanish.
Well, he doesn't speak Spanish, but no, to be fair to Dave, he's always on top of these things, planning them months and months in advance.
Yeah, and PDF and everything, minute by minute what you've got to do when you're on tour. Yeah. Brilliant.
And he's been trying to get in touch with someone in Benidorm, because he was hoping that there might be like some reps or something, holiday reps, he would just have a team.
Yeah.
So I think he went posted on a couple of local groups which aren't about football, just being like, does anyone have a football team that they can play? And I think eventually he's managed to get someone, but off the top of my head, I think this was like FC Oranges or something. We'll see.
I remember when I was playing rugby, obviously tour's a big part of rugby, and Mike Castown had a tour planned. We were going to go to Latvia for some strange reason. And it was in the planning stages, didn't actually come to fruition, but we were looking for a fixture in the same way Dave did. So I think this must have been maybe the late 90s, early noughties.
No Facebook then.
No Facebook or anything like that. So the call goes up. Cut a long story short, cast down for about two steps away from playing the Latvian national rugby team because it all got lost in translation. Yeah. So I can imagine this could be, you could be playing Benidorm FC, who are currently riding high in the third Spanish division. Yep. We'll see. Right, before we got you in, let's look ahead to this weekend's fixtures. Starting off with the GH Gaelic Woods quarterfinals, Dave. 2 o'clock kickoffs these, aren't they, Dave?
Certainly are. So only one place to start, really, isn't it?
The spiritual home of stock car racing on Nivison Stadium, Oncombe versus D&D. Now, Aaron, you said you favoured a way tie. You've got one. You sound confident. Obviously, yeah. Dave said in his preview in the Independent today, I think the reverse fixture was
4-1 to Oncombe.
Before you took the managerial reins. They are very much the Jekyll and Hyde side of Division 2 on their day, a bit like yourselves, can pull off a result. But equally, I think they beat Colby or Union Mills and then lost 7-1 within a couple of weeks to the same side.
You just never know what side's going to come out.
But this should be a good game. This should be nice and close. Obviously, Hattie's going to be there, so the whole multimedia experience as well. You're targeting this game. You're targeting this competition.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll pick the win up. Right. I think big close game, 3-2.
3-2?
3-2.
Steve, do you reckon extra time will be needed?
Hopefully not, because I definitely don't think I've got 120 minutes in my legs. Yeah. But no, I think I would back ourselves in this one, especially with the Hattie curse with Onken. Yeah. So I'm hoping for a clean sheet as well, from my point of view, would be nice. So I'll just take anything with a clean sheet. Good.
Dave, I put you on the spot here.
Yeah, well, I said in the preview, I'm kind of favourites, given that previous result. But hearing the last talk, they're all very confident. Mm. I think it'll go the distance. Yeah, I reckon you might just sneak it in extra time.
Yeah, we had any penos yet this year?
But what do you guys like for penalties?
Have you practiced them?
Of course, you did.
Yeah. Have you practiced them in addition to that, or just
being Luke Callister might not be get
taken? Because we spoke to Onker manager David Rees last time. He was in a couple of weeks ago, and we said he'd been practicing penalties, and he said no, we don't have enough footballs. So
we've got enough footballs. We don't tend to practice them. We had a couple last night in training.
Yeah.
I give a couple. I call a few decisions and give penalties in training last night. So. Lads were looking at me as I was backwards, and I was like, well, you might end up going penalties this weekend, lads, listen.
Yeah, get yourself in the zone. Big game up at Gary Moore. Dave, you Mills versus Air United. This is a mouth-watering tie, this one. Obviously, two of the leading lights in the second tier this season. Air perhaps going into this one just as favourites?
Yeah, I think so. It's almost guaranteed goals. I shouldn't say that because it'll be a 0-0 now, but and then go to penalties. But yeah. They produced one of the games of the season, didn't they? Early in the season, when it was, I think, Mills were 3-1 up at half time, and Air came back and won it 7-4. Mm-hmm. So some second half that was. But
so that's peak Max football.
7-4.
Yeah. Wins with you, aren't
you? Yeah. Yeah. But I think this will be close. Should be plenty of goals. I think Air will probably just about sneak it.
Aaron, do you agree, or do you think Mills can get something at home?
I think Mills will get the result, extra time.
Yeah, Ryan Keller.
Yeah, well, there you go. Naming the scorers now.
Ryan Keller.
Steve, obviously you played the Tangerines last week, that, as we've already heard about their aerial presence. Obviously, Gary Moore, one of the most exposed places.
the plateau that is, yeah. Yes. I think...
The wind might play a big role in this one.
Oh, the wind plays... Well, it does in every game I play, because I need something to blame. But no, I think Air might edge this, but I think it'll be a really close game. Yeah, so we'll probably say something like 3-2 Air.
Yeah. Elsewhere, we got Foxdale take on St John's in the Western Derby at Billy Goat Park. Dave, I think St John's has only lost in the league this season at Foxdale. Early in the start of the season, but... Does that give them sort of the edge in this one? Or you say St John's obviously put a good run together recently, haven't they?
Yeah, but Foxdale will be hurting after losing to Mills last week, won't they? Mm. So, they're crying out for a win. You talk about momentum, and something Foxdale don't get because of all the postponements. They'll be fired up for this one. St John's will be favourites, but I think Foxdale might just sneak through this one.
I personally would go with the Johnners. Aaron, would you agree, or do you think Foxdale
could... I think the Johnners will do this.
They're playing well under Callum Taggart. I think they had an abandonment the other week against Michael, which is hilarious. But he seems to have carried on the good work that Adam Watts started at the start of the season. Steve, do you think the Johnners, or do you think Dale can get something on their own patch, as it were?
Well, Billy Goat Park, infamous, so we'll see. I think I might fancy a home win there, but it might be after extra time. So
the three games we've discussed already all have got extra time potential, haven't they?
Yeah.
Could be a long afternoon for everyone. Do you have to pay the refs extra if it goes extra?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Costs a fortune.
The other quarterfinal tie sees Malou welcome Braddon to the clack. Obviously, Dave, this one looks to me, Braddon, when they did well to see off Jim last week. Malou, he just hasn't quite clicked into place in this season.
Yeah, we've said all along it's a transitional season. They lost a lot of players, didn't they? Clackvane's not an easy place to go, though. But Braddon,
yes, it is, just straight down the.
It's too far for Steve, though.
I get lost going in the estate.
I always give myself an extra quarter of an hour.
I think Braddon will be too strong with this one.
Aaron, obviously, team's not too far away from you in the league. Malou, as we said, it hasn't quite kicked on for them this season. But Braddon have sort of been in fits and starts, have showed their potential, haven't they? And they probably will be favourites for this one.
I think if Braddon have got full 14 that they'd want, I see a Braddon win.
Steve, your old club, any hope for them to get anything out of this?
Well, I think similarly to us, I reckon if they've not had the best season, this is something they might be a bit more off for.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing, but I've got to agree. I think Braddon probably favourites for this and probably will do the deed.
Do the business. 2:30 kickoffs on Saturday, Dave. There's five games in the Cadwaladr Premier League and two in JCK Division 2. We'll look at the Premier League first because there's a absolute humdinger on the cards at Glencrutchley Road, Dave, and a game you're going to take in this week.
Yeah, it should be good. This one, St George's v Peel. It's a tough one to call, this one. Always is between these two.
Yeah.
I think I was at this corresponding fixture last year, and I think Peel won that one. And Peel won the reverse fixture as well this season. I was also at that one. It was 5-3, and I think Lee Gale got a hat-trick. But obviously, their injury woes are well-documented.
Yeah.
Without Reese, without Bella, and also without Gale. So they're not quite the force they were. You saw them last week. Their youngsters are good, aren't they?
Yeah, they brought in three young kids in the shape of Charlie Higgins, Tom Dowling and Sam Kenyick. All three impressed me last week. Charlie Higgins looks an absolute find. If they can, he can get him some shooting boots, he'll be an absolute baller. Sam Kenyick, I've never seen, he's bottled the essence of Danny Lace on and put it on that side. So I worked out, actually, I think, and basically my maths are correct, didn't I? I think Danny Lace is about 41, 42.
Yeah.
And Charlie's 16. So there was a 25-year age gap between the left back and the left winger last week. But, it must be a record. Peel, the kids have come in and done well. They battled hard against St Mary's last week. It wasn't the greatest of games, I have to be said. The wind was sweeping down the pitch. It was a bit of a war of attrition last week. But they'll take heart. They pushed St Mary's all the way. I think this might be a bridge too far for them, though, this week. I think St George's won the last seven, something like that.
Yeah, they won 10-0 last week against Ramsey. Yeah. Callum Morrissey's back and scoring goals.
Enjoying his Indian summer of his career. Aaron, obviously, it's a massive game. And a game both need to win, really, to keep on St Mary's tails at the top of the league. So a draw doesn't really do either. It could be almost have the feel of a cup tie, this one.
It could, yeah. I think Peel, as you said, with the injuries, I think St George will be too strong for him.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be wanting to have a finish on a high this year with, obviously, Bassett
stepping
down.
Yeah.
I can see a St George's win.
Steve?
Yeah, again, complete agreement. I think St George's will be riding off their last thumping of someone else. Yeah. And, you know, with Peel's injuries, it's prime for the taking, isn't it, really? So, George's win.
I think we've just done Peel's pre-game team talk there, haven't we? If all could be playing that out now. Just over the hedge, sort of. Old boys take on Moran, David, and a game that only took place the reverse fixture last weekend, didn't it?
Yeah, quite a day it was, wasn't it?
A history-making day. It was a 0-0.
Yeah, a really exciting
which was the 15th since 2007. We were averaging about one a season.
Yeah.
Which is obviously have defenders like Steve waking up in cold sweats, lack of clean sheets in the football at the moment.
I take a 0-0.
Yeah. obviously a very close game, a game that edged Moran closer to safety in effect.
Yeah.
They'll be confident of getting something else again this weekend, won't they?
They will, but I think it'll be a bit of a different game at Old Boys. If it goes ahead, if the pitch survives the weather, I think Old Boys are at home a little bit more attacking. I think they'll probably just have enough to get the points in this one, I think.
Aaron,
close though.
Fancy Old Boys for this. I mean, at home especially. I mean, got a good coach down there in Guyver.
Yeah.
So yeah, fancy Old Boys for that.
Steve?
Well, I'm going to be split down the middle and say I reckon it'll be a draw, but it won't be a clean sheet for both teams. So I'll say 1-1.
1-1.
Well, we should also note now that of those 15 Premier League draws, goalless draws, Old Boys have now been involved in five of them.
They are the 0-0 specialists.
Yeah.
What a claim. They should put that on the sign. Home of the clean sheet.
I think St John's have had five of them as well. So I don't know who the other ones are.
Well, maybe if St John's get back up next season, we'll send you to them. Right, elsewhere we've got St Mary's taking on Laxey at the Bowl, Dave. St Mary's just need to keep chipping away at the top, don't they? It surprised me last week. We talked about this earlier the week off air, didn't we? They were sort of a little thought they put into their title chances in jeopardy a bit by dropping points against Rushden. But I still think there's almost points to give in this title race yet because it's so nip and tuck.
Yeah, I mean, they've just been fairly relentless this season, haven't they?
Grinding the results out, would
you say? Yeah, that's it. And I think, you know, they go into it with confidence. I mean, that game last week, as you said, was a war of attrition. This will be completely different. I think there'll be plenty of goals. I think it was 7-3 in the reverse fixture this week.
Yes, yeah.
And Laxey obviously had a very good start to the season. They've not played much in recent weeks, so they'll probably be a bit rusty. So, yeah, I think the Saints will be too good and get the 3 points.
Saints win for you, Aaron?
Saints win. Strong team.
Yeah, agree with me. Yeah, I think Mary's won off too much for Laxey.
Corinthians take on Douglas Royal in the Ballafletcher Derby on Corinthians' pitch in front of the Louis Thornton stand. Corinthians should have been probably one of the form teams
they're in great scoring form.
They're scoring for fun and actually keeping it quite tight at the back at the same time. So they should be firm favourites for this one.
They will be. You have to say that Royal have improved a lot, haven't they, lately? And their youngsters are coming to the fore a bit more. So they're doing really well. Got to give them a lot of credit, and Fitzy's doing a good job. But again, I think Corinthians, that firepower they've got, they're in such good form. They were 3-1 winners over Colby last week, so it was a bit of a hard-fought game. We talked about Colby being organised, so that would have been a tough one for them to break down. it might be a similar story in this one for a while, but I think they'll run away with it in the end.
Grindon is obviously in second at the moment, still trying to hang on to St Mary's. They need to keep winning. But it's a derby game, Aaron. Yeah. Does that sort of...
I fancy Corinthians.
Right.
Yeah, I just think they're too strong. Yeah, yeah. They're a very good side.
Yeah. Steve, obviously, they've got goals all over the show at the moment.
But yeah, they certainly do. They've got some decent players who aren't afraid to score, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I agree with that. But also as well, when we play Douglas Royals in pre-season, some of the youngsters they have there as well, I mean,
they've got bright
futures. Yeah.
So they can keep them together. And they play football as well. You know, we're talking about, it's no kick and chases. It's all...
No, they're trying to pass the ball around. As I said, Fitzy's a great coach.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he does have them.
Hopefully
going the right way.
Yeah, I think they'll should have enough to stay up, shouldn't they, Dave?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Douglas Athletic versus Rushen. Rounds out the top flight programme on Saturday. Douglas Athletic, the onken of the top flight in many ways, because they will beat us 1 week, obviously they beat St George's.
Yeah.
And then a bit woeful the next. So Craig Purvis must be sort of tearing his hair out of this their form. Rushen.
Probably tearing his hair out being a Liverpool fan anyway.
Rushen, one of the... Williams had a really good season down there with Rushen. Obviously, they've tailed off a little bit in recent weeks, but it's still a good season, isn't it? And they could still finish second, I reckon.
Yeah, I think the title
might just be beyond them this year.
I think so, yeah. They've just dropped a few too many points of late. But yeah, what a great season. Liam's done a fantastic job down there.
After Josh and Dan as well. It was always the question mark, what would happen after they left, but it seems to have brought the rest of the squad together.
It has, yeah. I think the guys mentioned that when they were on the podcast earlier this season. So, yeah, well done to them. I think, they'll be favourites going into this game. And Athletic will put up a good fight, I think, but, yeah, the Spaniards will get the points.
We've talked about your home pitch, Aaron, but Douglas Athletics, there seems to be some mythical powers around that as well. Probably the fact that it's not much bigger than a postage stamp. But, Rushen should still have enough to see off Athletic out there, shouldn't they?
Do you know what? I'm going to sit on the fence with this. I'm going to think Athletic could pull a draw. I think they get a point. I think they do a good weekend.
Yeah.
They seem to have this. They seem to have, like I say, it's got a really good, great game.
Yeah.
Then they'll go missing for a couple of games. I think they do another one. I think they'll pull off a draw this weekend.
Steve?
Well, I'm not going to be quite as optimistic as you for that sort of thing, but I think Rushen should have enough to beat Douglas Athletic. But yeah, I mean, no, a few of the lads down at Douglas Athletic, so it's as you say, it's whether they turn up and put in a shift. But the pitch will play a bit of a part, but I think Rushen will probably still have too much for them.
Two cheeky little games in JCK Division 2 this weekend. James versus Rycobb is a bit of a mid table affair now, Dave. Is that fair to say?
Certainly is. Ethie have had, you know, inconsistent season as well. They've had 7 wins and 7 defeats this season, so shows you how split it is. But, you know, they'll obviously be favourites going into this. But Jim's put up a good fight against Brandon last week. It was only 4-2. They seem to be getting a much better strength and depth for more parts of the season now. So they'll be fired up, but I think Ethie will win.
Lads, obviously you've played both these teams. Do you think home win, or do you think Youthy can make the trip over the mountain worthwhile?
I think Youthy will just edge it. Mm. I think they'll just edge it. Jim's, I said when we played Jim's a couple of weeks back, they seem to be getting a bit stronger and more depth in the squad. But I think Rycobb will just have a little bit too much.
Youthy Wednesday, obviously Youthy this week, I don't want to take too much away from Combi Corner, but they could seal a division, Combi 2 title, sorry.
Yeah.
Might they be slightly distracted by that? Maybe a different squad?
I'm not sure. I think Jim's are definitely a club which are more on the up now rather than where they started at the start of the season. Rycobb have, as you say, I mean, you know, sometimes they can be a bit turbulent in whether they're getting wins or losses or anything. So, I mean, when we played them a couple of weeks ago, you know, it wasn't the same team we played last season. And, you know, they had similar faces. You obviously had Hodge up front as well. But I reckon it'll be close. I think Jim's could do it. I reckon it could be 2-1. Maybe nail biting stuff.
I'm going to sit on the Dave Norton Memorial fence and call this one as a draw, I think. If it goes ahead, because obviously Tramode is renowned for its boating lake at this time of year.
Saturated all year.
The other game in JCK Division 2 takes place at the Station Fields and sees Michael United make the long trip south to Colby. Colby still need to keep chipping away if they want to remain in that top 2, top 4 places, Dave.
Yeah,
Michael, though, Kieran McNulty is motoring up through the still the boot standings at the moment.
Got another hat trick last week. You know, so as you say, they are firing. He seems to have linked up quite well with Andy Glover up front there. I don't know whether Andy's playing this weekend or not, but
Owen Hurt was, I think, the other name that stood out for me in the scorers last week. He seems to be continuing his promising form as a youngster.
He is, yeah, good little player. I think the Aces will be well up for this one. I think there'll be plenty of goals in it. But Colby, as you say, they're still top at the moment. But they have played more games than anyone else, so a bit like St Mary's, as you say, they just need to keep on plugging away and knocking off the results.
Home win for you, Aaron?
I'd say it depends if you've got Glover and Kieran together up top, because them two are absolutely tremendous together. I mean, we had them. Yeah. We did a good job against them, actually.
Yeah.
Finished 3-3 then up at Michael, but if them two are on fire, it could be a shock and Michael could sneak some up.
Yeah.
But I'll go Colby.
Colby?
Just. Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Colby at home here. I think, you know, played with Glover, you know, great finisher. And I think Kieran Nulty's obviously had a great impact. I think that everyone else is developing more around them, which is good.
Yeah.
When we've played them, they've always been like supportive of the younger lads. So I think at the moment, they're just not quite there. But I reckon next season, if the same faces hang about, then it could be a different story.
Right, before we go, Dave, my favourite time of the week, Combi Corner, and then, of course, followed hot on its heel by Dave Read the Weather.
Which is your favourite out of those two?
I sit on the fence.
Yeah. Well, it was a very quiet day at Combi Football last Saturday. Only 3 games took place across the 2 divisions. The eagerly anticipated top of the table clash in Combi 1 between Quinthians and St Mary's was unfortunately postponed at the last minute. Apparently the referee was unwell, so best wishes to him. I think it was Martin Ferris who was the ref in that one. So the only game of Combi 1 to go ahead saw Douglas Athletic thrash Old Boys 8-0.
Good result, that.
Very good result. Ollie Bennett got a hat-trick. Mm. Drew Ward got a couple of goals against his former club. Mark Hargreaves, Mikey Callister and Dan Robson also scored.
Those like two have been...
Dan Robson.
Obviously in the first team this season, so obviously took advantage of a few postponements to get a couple of minutes, 90 minutes in the Combi,
Yep, certainly were. Over at Combi 2, as you just alluded to, Youthy, but they were made to wait to clinch the title. Last weekend they were held to a 2-2 draw at home to Colby.
Was that the first points they dropped?
It was. Yeah. They had a 100% winning record going into that game. But yeah, so well done to Colby. A really good result for them. As you say, Youth have got Jims at home this weekend, so they'll be looking to clinch that title there with a win. So Harry Grant and Dan Sherry scored for Youth in that one, and Dave Thomas and Nigel Goldsmith netted for the Moonlighters.
Yeah, I believe Nigel's was he nutmegged Martin Murphy in the Youthy goal from 30 yards or something silly like that.
Did he tell you that?
Yeah. No, it was on the Youthy tweets. So
yeah, well there you go. Well done, Nigel.
Yeah.
The only other game was saw Ayr United record a 4-0 win over Michael United. It saw them close the gap on the top 3. Matt Jauncey, Zach Suska, Vincent Cummins and Deacon Lombard chipping all the
best name in Manx football.
You love it, don't you?
And Vincent Cummins, obviously former rugby players, aren't
they? That's it. Many talents in that squad.
I was going to say about with Youth dropping points, who's got the only, is Corinthians the only 100% that's left?
Yeah, 14 wins from 14 games in Combi 1. Well done to Youth for making that last for that long. But we should mention because they're in, but D&D is still second in the table.
There we go.
Right, Dave Reads the Weather. I'm looking out the window, it's quite nice now, but you're going to give me some bad news, aren't you?
No, it's actually alright. There will be occasional rain overnight tonight, but tomorrow's going to be mostly dry with some sunshine. The possibility of the odd shower will increase overnight, but it should clear up on Saturday in time for the footy. The rain will return in the evening, but obviously that won't affect.
So do you think we'll get a full hit?
Probably not a full hit. I think we'll be alright. We'll get most of the games going ahead.
That's what I like to hear, Dave. Before we go, just a quick update. Obviously we talked about Adam Long and Liam Doyle briefly last weekend. Adam's winning run with Notts County continued. They beat league leaders Barrow 2-0 on Saturday. I think he came on as a sub in that one and he played the full 90 as they won again in midweek against a team that I've forgotten who
I
it
can't
was.
Remember who it is now, but yeah.
Liam Doyle, in contrast, his season started on Saturday or Friday, I think. I can't remember which night it was. Tim lining up with Tim Howard in goal from Memphis FC.
Legend.
They went 2-0 up against the Indy 11. I think it's Indianapolis,
yes,
isn't it? I think they won or were in the playoff final last year in the lost 4-2.
Yeah. So, it's tough, tough start to the season. Yeah. But
Liam's season obviously continues this weekend. I've noticed he's now got a fan page on Facebook, if you want to give that
a look. Yeah, I believe Connor set that up. But, really? Doyle, yeah. But, yeah, so give that a like.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it'll be full of banter.
It will.
lads, thanks so much for coming in, Aaron. Thanks so much, Steve. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to meet the man behind the magic, as it were.
Yeah.
good luck for Saturday.
Cheers, thank you.
Good luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully, Woods Cup would be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be great. Yeah,
we're not far from the it's Good Friday, isn't it? Good
yeah, it's only a few weeks away if it goes ahead.
So there you go. Be, when's tour?
End of April.
Oh, yeah. So got a bit of time yet.
Yeah. Not too close.
Could be in Port Erin yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Until next week.
Ta for now.